This is HPR episode 2791 entitled, Looks Like TrueCrypt, and is part of the series, Privacy and Security. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 25 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Klaatu demonstrates how to use LVM and Crypt Setup to create and use portable encrypted file systems.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hey everybody, this is Klaatu. Remember back when there was a thing called TrueCrypt? I kind of don't, to be honest. It's been ages since I've thought about or much less used TrueCrypt, and even when I used it, it was more of an experiment, like, let's learn about this tool. Those were way back in my early days of getting a clue about computers. So I don't exactly remember what TrueCrypt did, but I do remember, certainly a couple of years back, there was this big kerfuffle about whether TrueCrypt was truly secure, and how no one had actually seen the source code or something like that, or people had seen it, but no one had sat down to audit the code, something to that nature. And then, of course, TrueCrypt just sort of disappeared, at least officially. Other people have forked TrueCrypt since then. There's VeraCrypt, there's something else, Cypher or something. So you can find new versions of it and continue to use it, I guess. And I might have some interest in that if I needed all of the different features of TrueCrypt, such as super easy, drop-dead simple, cross-platform compatibility. I don't need that. I use Linux at work. I use Linux at home. For many things that I do not feel an urgent need to have a solution that is cross-platform for my own use. It just doesn't apply. So I was sitting around the other day thinking, how could I encrypt files on a per-file basis or a per-collection basis? The immediate thing that came to mind, of course, was GPG. I've used GPG in the past. It worked out pretty well. It's somewhat flexible. I mean, you can encrypt a GPG file or a file with GPG basing the encryption on your own private key, or you can base it, you can do symmetric encryption such that you don't have to have a key present. You just have to know the passphrase, enter it, and suddenly the file is opened to you. In fact, even though this episode is about Lux, let's do a GPG encrypted file. So I'm going to echo foo space bar into a new file called mysecretfile.txt. Now that exists on my hard drive, and so I can encrypt it with GPG, which is GNU-PG, which is the free and open source version of PGP, pretty good privacy. So I'll do GPG dash dash symmetric with two M's, S-Y-M-M-E-T-R-I-C. It took me a while to get that through my head. And then the path to the file, mysecretfile.txt. Then on my computer, it prompts me with a GUI pin entry dialog box. So I'll just put in bogus123, and that's it. It doesn't say anything in return, so I guess it worked. So we'll do an ls of my secret file asterisk. And yes, now I have mysecretfile.txt and mysecretfile.txt.gpg. So if I cat mysecretfile.txt.gpg, I get a bunch of nonsense characters that doesn't really look like anything. And that's, of course, what we would want in an encrypted file. But if I cat mysecretfile.txt, we see foo and bar in the output. Because the workflow of GPG is that it creates a copy of the thing that you have encrypted, which obviously leaves the original lying around, which is technically fine as long as you remember to then shred mysecretfile.txt and then trash mysecretfile.txt. And now that file presumably is forgotten. Now we just have the encrypted version of it. to look at that again, we'll do a gpg dash dash decrypt my secret file.txt.gpg, and it pops up this little pin entry thing. It always looks like pine entry to me because the pin and entry are all one word. So bogus 123. And then in the output of the command, it shows me foo and bar. And if I do an ls of my secret file.txt again, I still only have the encrypted version of this file, which is good, I guess, unless you, of course, wanted to then edit that thing. So in order to edit, you would have to do that same process again, except you would redirect the output to my secret file.txt, and then enter the password, and then it dumps the output into that file, and now I could do like an emacs of my secret file.txt. I could add foobar and then maybe add baz, and now I've got the improved version of that file, but then I have to go back up to the gpg dash dash symmetric to recreate that file. And you can write right over it. I mean, you don't have to, you don't have to do anything too fancy. It prompts you, oh, it already exists. Shall I overwrite? Yes. And so now I've recreated it. But of course, now I've got the old copy still on my drive, so I'll do a shred again of my secret.txt, or my secret file.txt, and then we'll just cat that to make sure that it's nonsensical. Yes, it is. And so then we'll just trash it. Okay, so that is that's sort of the GPG version. That's the GPG option for that. And as you can tell, for something that if you're gonna use something frequently, that would not be the optimal method of encrypting something for everyday use or for weekly use or whatever. So if you need something a little bit more robust, I was looking around, and my first stop was the EcryptFS program, or I should say suite of tools. There's an EcryptFS-utils, and then there's EcryptFS itself, and there's the daemon that comes along with that, but all of that is dependent upon a kernel module called EcryptFS, and I've tried this on a couple of different systems now, and it just seems to be not exactly working. And I would love to hear from you, dear listener, fellow Hacker Public Radio comrade, if you've had better luck with it than I had, because I certainly could not get it working on Slackware. There's an issue or a post over on linuxquestions.org from someone using it on Slackware and said, hey, can't use it on the huge kernel, but it seems to work on the generic kernel. And I thought, well, that's a little bit weird, but okay, I could do that. Not really sure if I want to. Then I thought, well, I could just recompile the kernel. And then I realized, if it's this hard, then that's not the answer for me. Like, if it's going to be this tenuous, that's not the one that I want. So then I tried the same thing on a RHEL desktop, and that's Red Hat Enterprise Linux. And that didn't work either. It seemed to work, but every time I launched the daemon, it said I can't connect to this device, and I couldn't. I thought, well, maybe I just need to create the device /dev/ecryptfs. But then I tried to run the ecryptfs daemon, and it didn't seem to want to work as either. And yeah, there were just a lot of. And then I tried to load the module, and it claimed that the module wasn't a module; it couldn't be found. So I decided. Fairly early on that this was not the tool that I wanted to resort to. Like, that just wasn't going to – that's not sustainable. If it couldn't work on two out of two systems, just don't bother. So I turned to my old friend LVM. LVM is the – I think it stands for Logical Volume Manager or something like that. It's kind of an infrastructure tool within your computer. If you're running Linux, you almost certainly have it, and if not, it's super easy to get from your repository. I've not encountered a Linux yet that is so marginalized that it doesn't have LVM pretty easily obtainable. So, I mean, LVM ships on Slackware. It is implemented by default on Fedora and RHEL. It is easily available for Ubuntu and Debian if it's not already there. Along with LVM, there's an encryption suite so that you can have full volume encryption or partial volume encryption called Lux, L-U-K-S. And the front end or the user-facing tool for Lux is a command called crypt setup. And that's what I'm going to use to implement a kind of virtual drive manager setup, which I think is, if memory serves, is kind of what TrueCrypt did. You would have these TrueCrypt volumes, and then you would open TrueCrypt and you would choose the volume that you wanted to decrypt for that session. And that's pretty much what LVM and Lux and Crypt Setup can provide for us. So let me run you through the use case of it, the workflow, just so that you get an idea of what we're aiming for, and then I'll run you through how to set it up for yourself. It is not difficult. The prerequisites are that you have LVM and Lux and Crypt Setup installed. It depends on your distribution, how that is packaged, I imagine. On Slackware, I know that LVM is one package and Crypt Setup is another. And that's really all you need to get started. So let's go through how I use this. So I've got a volume on my hard drive called foo.img. If I do a file on foo.img, it tells me that it is a Lux encrypted file, version 1, and then some specs on how it's been encrypted. Okay, so I'm going to do a crypt setup. That's the main command. And then the subcommand to that is lux open, that's L-U-K-S, and then open with a capital O, foo.img, and then some string for myself. I could call it foo, I could call it penguin, I could call it whatever I want. And you'll see where this manifests itself momentarily. So crypt setup, lux open, foo.img, that's the source, and then the destination is foo. It now prompts me for a password, so I'm going to put in my password, bogus123. It processes that request and then returns me to a prompt. So if I do an ls/dev, and if you know LVM, you would know where to look, probably. On my system, it's ls/dev/mapper. And in /dev/mapper, which is kind of the LVM station, that's where all the LVM volumes go when they're activated, I now have an entry there called foo. So now I can just do a normal mount command. I'm doing this as root, by the way. Crypt setup and mount you would want to do with either sudo or as root, depending on your distribution and what you've got set up on your computer. So I'm going to do a mount of /dev/mapper/foo to some place on my system. So I'll just do it /mnt/hd because that's short. And now if I open, I can open up a Dolphin file browser window here, file manager, and I'll go to /mnt/hardhd, and here's my little file. I've got a folder in there called vault, and I've got a test file that says foo and bar, and that's about the extent of what I've stored there. It's pretty small, actually, but that's okay. So I can open up this text file. I can add entries, baz, hacker public radio. I'll save that. Now it's a larger file than it was before. That's it. Now if I'm done with it, I can do an umount of /mnt/hd and then a lux close. So that's crypt setup lux close space foo. And now if I do an ls/dev/mapper, I have nothing listed there anymore. So it's a file that you can put on a thumb drive or you can put anywhere you want. It's self-contained. And whenever you want to interface with it or interact with it, you can do a crypt setup lux open and put it somewhere in your device tree as if though it was a hard drive. And then open it up, modify your files, unmount it, and then close it. Lux close. Take it out of your device tree. And that's built into pretty much, like I said, pretty much any Linux system that you're on, or it's easily obtainable. So here's how to make that happen for yourself. It is not difficult. It's only about, I don't know, 6 or 7 steps. So what I just did, that's the repeatable kind of everyday use of it. That's the workflow. Lux open, mount, unmount, lux close. That's what you have to do every time you want to use it. What I'm about to cover now is what you need to do. You have to do this part once in order to create the volume. So this is your setup steps. First of all, obviously you need LVM and Crypt Setup. They might be called, they may be in packages called LVM and Crypt Setup, respectively. They might be maybe in one package. I don't know how your distribution manages it. On Slackware, there's an LVM package, and then there's a Crypt Setup package. So you're looking for something like that. Once you've got LVM and Crypt Setup on your system, you can do this. First thing is to create an empty file. And it can be of any size, really. You do have to determine the size in advance. But I think, if I recall correctly, TrueCrypt was the same way. And I'm going to do that with fallocate. If you do man fallocate allocate, you see that it is a command that pre-allocates or deallocates a space to a file. Options look like the one that we want is the dash dash length. And that's probably all we need for now. Yeah, it looks like it. So that's what we'll do. So fallocate and then dash dash length. And I'll make this, 128 megabytes. I mean, it could be a lot larger than that if you need more space, but this is for demonstration purposes, so I'm keeping it pretty small. And that doesn't take long. So now bar.img exists. If I do an ls-lh of bar.img, yep, it's 128 megabytes. Now that we've got our empty space for data, we can do a script setup part. So this you need to be root for, or you have to use sudo. I'm going to just become root because I don't have sudo set up on this particular machine. Never did bother. And then I'll do a crypt setup dash dash verify dash passphrase. That is to get crypt setup to prompt us to create a password, because this is symmetric encryption. And we're going to do the lux format subcommand of course, bar.img. So this is basically, it says this is going to overwrite data on bar.img irrevocably. Type yes in uppercase, okay? Yes. Enter a passphrase, okay? Bogus 123. Bogus 123. And so that's working. So this is obviously formatting this data block, this empty file space that we set aside, that we allocated, into a crypt setup, into a lux volume. So now if I do a file on bar.img, it does indeed tell me that bar.img is a lux encrypted file. All right, that's great. So now we know how to get these things attached to our system already. And for that, we do crypt setup, if you'll recall, lux open, and then the source, bar.img, and then the destination, bar. Prompting me for my password, so I'll do bogus 123. And if I do an ls in /dev/mapper, I should see a bar entry there, and there is. So now, normally, you know, this part seems familiar because this is how you normally do it. But right now, this is a lux encrypted file, but there's nothing in the file. So what we can do is we can do mkfs.ext2, for instance, on /dev/mapper/bar. Actually, you know what we should do is give it a label. Let's give this a label. We'll call this TrueCrypt, just to be clever. There we go. Okay, so now we've got a file system on this lux volume. So now, from now, that's set up. Now you're done. That's it. So from now on, when you want to use that, well, you know what? I should mention, actually, because, okay, so if I go to Dolphin, I mean, I you know, technically you're done. But if you're not super familiar with managing these kinds of devices, it might be useful to do one more thing. So first of all, I'm going to open up Dolphin, which is my file manager on KDE, and I'm going to go to the little menu that, you know, gives me all the different places. And you should see in there, since it is in the dev mapper thing, you should actually see it listed as an available drive that you can mount. Indeed it is. So here's a true crypt volume, or that's what we named it, remember, to be clever. And then it's asking me for my password. Oh, that's the wrong password. It's asking me for the device, you know, the Lux password. No, it's not. It's asking me for my root password. There we go. Because I already gave it the Lux password to get it into my device tree. Okay, so there's a lost and found directory. So as a normal user, of course, I can't do anything in this volume. Now, if you assigned it a simpler file format or a file system, like a FAT or something like that doesn't even do file permissions, then you could skip this step. But I'm going to go ahead and do this step because this is how I would actually do it in real life. So it mounted it because I did this through Dolphin. It used UDisk Control 2, as I recently learned, to place it into, I guess it's UDisk Control 2. It's anyway, or UDisk 2, so that's UDisk Control. But anyway, it dumped it into /run/media/clat2/truecrypt. And there's a lost and found directory there. So I'm going to make a directory in run/media/clat2/truecrypt, and I'm going to call it, I guess I'll just call it vault. And then I'm going to chown that directory so that it is owned by clat2:users. And that way I'll have access to this folder whether or not I'm on my own system or I'm on a system where my username is different or whatever. So run/media/clat2/truecrypt/vault. And now I'm going to chmod that to 770, I guess. I mean, it's encrypted. I don't know how. I don't really know that it actually matters at this point. But that's what I'll do. So it'll be read, write, execute to the user, to the group, and then to no one else. Again, if they've gotten through the encryption at that point, I guess everything's probably lost. So heck, I'm just gonna chmod it to 777. There. So now I've got access to Vault. I can do things like create new files. So I'll exit root, my root prompt, and I'll do an echo hello world into. Well, I think I'll create a file here, and I'll put hello.txt, and I'll drag that into my terminal, paste location there. So now I'm echoing contents into this hello.txt file that I just created. I could copy stuff into it, like I could go to a folder where there are small graphics. Here's a small graphic that is 13 kilobytes. I'll copy that into there. Here's another one. Here's a vector of a kitchen sink. I don't know why I have that on my hard drive, really. I mean, I know why it's there. I just don't know why I would keep it there. So anyway, now I've got data in this vault. And if I wanted to discontinue using this, I can, again, go into my little places menu here. Oh, no, I can't. I don't know how to eject or unmount a volume from Dolphin, actually, at least not as I currently have it set up. That's all right. So I'll go back to my root prompt, and I'll do a umount/run/media/clat2/truecrypt, and then I'll do a crypt setup lux close, what is it called? Bar, right, I think? Yeah, bar. And now it's gone. It doesn't exist. It is a mere encrypted file on the hard drive. And I can verify that, of course, by just doing an ls-lh of bar.img. It's 128 megabytes. It is encrypted. I can do file bar.img. Of course, I could do head of bar.img and get all kinds of garbled, nonsensical text. Now, since this file of encrypted data it's just a file, you can put it on thumb drives, you can email it to yourself, you can do whatever you want to do with it. It is a self-contained encrypted volume, and it is as easy as that, at least on Linux. Again, not really cross-platform necessarily, although from what I've understood, you can get LVM and probably crypt setup on Cygwin and other places, so maybe it is technically cross-platform, but definitely with Linux, it's a no-brainer. So that's Lux-like TrueCrypt. Hopefully that was informative and helpful. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.